All right, Marty Lurie here on KMBR 6A. What a pleasure. And, you know, this guy, we love to have him on. And, boy, you say his name around the ballpark. They say statue, plaques, retire his number. But he still shows up, and he's a big part of the Giants. That is Will Clark. Will, nice to have you here.
Marty, man, it's great to be back. It's always a pleasure being on your show.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? And I tell you that seriously. I get more calls about you and retiring your number and plaques and statues and all that. The fan, you just made a connection with the fans here.
You know what? It was a great time to be a Giant. 1985, the organization had lost 100 games, first time ever in the franchise's history. And myself and Robbie Thompson come along in 86 as rookies, and Matt Williams comes along in 87, Kurt Manwaring's right after that. And before you know it, I mean, the whole face of the organization has changed around. We're winning. We're expecting to win. We're expecting to be in the playoffs. And, you know, if you were a fan back then and continue on today, you see what the legacy is that we built.
Yeah, you know what you say, it really is true, and that's the first team to turn it around. That's what people remember. So I had Al Rosen on the show the other day. We were celebrating the 1954 World Series, which for him is not a celebration, right, since Cleveland got swept four straight. But while he was on, I said, Al, what did you think of Will Clark the first time you saw him? And he says, let me tell you, when I saw him, it was in the Astrodome. You were on the Olympic team. You were taking batting practice, and he just heard the bat and the ball, and he turned around and he said, who's that?
Yeah, it's Al and I had talked about that quite a few times. Was, you know, when you are watching good hitters, you don't necessarily have to watch them. You can hear it. I mean, the ball makes just a completely different sound off of their bat as opposed to everybody else. And, you know, that's what you take pride in, working to be such a good hitter and to make, like, pure contact every time. You know, that's what the golfers do. That's why they hit 1,000 balls every day. You know, you want to swing the bat and hit the ball right on the screws every time. And when you do it, and you do it with some authority, it definitely makes a different sound.
Well, he said it. And did you know you were going to get drafted by the Giants? Because this is obviously pre-draft.
You know what? It was pretty interesting. You know, Milwaukee had the first pick in the draft, and B.J. Surhoff, it was pretty much known that, you know, he was going to go with them because he was going to sign ahead of the draft. And then it was myself, Barry Larkin, and Bobby Witt off of the Olympic team, the three of us. And we didn't know the order, but, you know, we were like the three top next three dudes. Yeah. And it just so happened that the Giants, who had the number two pick, decided to choose me. And I got drafted, believe it or not, on a day when we're in the College World Series and have to play Arkansas. I go 3-for-4 with a homer and 4 RBIs, and they tell me I got drafted by the Giants. So that was a pretty special day.
Boy, very nice. You know, I had Chad Godin on last year talking about his draft day experience. Said he came home, his mother said he got drafted. He thought he was drafted in the Army.
Well, Chad, believe it or not, is from down Louisiana. So he and I get to be good buds. But, you know, everybody has their own different stories, and it was just completely different back then because, like I said, the draft was going on at the time of the College World Series, and we just happened to be there.
So did you sign right away? How were the negotiations with you?
You know what? Al Rosen, throughout the whole time he was the general manager, he made no bones about it. We're not going to haggle too much. If you meet me in the middle, we'll get this done pretty quick. And so my negotiation was maybe a week and a half. I flew out here, signed my contract, a few photo ops, and somebody drove me to Fresno that night, which is where our A-ball team was at the time. And I went 3-for-5 with 2 homers, one in my first minor league at-bat, one of my first major league at-bat. So it was a pretty good way to break into both leagues.
Boy, and you haven't stopped yet, I would tell you. Really.
You know what? It's fun. You know, you get a chance to not only be a first baseman and have all the great hitters, you know, the Wade Boggs and Tony Gwynn's and Keith Hernandez and Edgar Martinez and Ken Griffey Jr. I mean, all of those guys coming down to first base and comparing notes with them. But then you had some great hitting instructors. I had Dusty Baker for 5 years before he became a manager. And you know, you learn from everybody. And, you know, one of the things that Mike Kruko and Dwayne Kuiper and Bob Brenly always told me is, hey, you know, we've given you this information to pass it on. And that's what I'm doing here today. I'm trying to pass it on to these guys.
Boy, Will Clark with us. And just talking prior to the game here, it's a beautiful day out here for baseball, as I always like to say. You work with Brandon Belt today. And I know you've worked a lot of hitting last year. You know, you did a lot with him. And today was defense. What were you working on today?
You know what? Brandon likes to sort of get off of first base a little bit. Because of that reason, whenever there's a throw, he has to make a move back towards the bag. And he was doing it for a comfort reason, not for a strategic reason. And so we're trying to explain to him, hey, this is the strategic way to be closer to the bag so you don't have to search for the bag and let the ball travel on its own and you're much quicker. And he totally agreed, and he was over there trying to play with a new stance or two, and he liked it. So that's a good thing.
Boy, you know, it's amazing, and I just think of your career. People work with you like that during your career, who?
Oh, yeah. Well, when I was in San Fran, my infield instructor was Bob Lillis, we work quite a bit together. I really like Bob. He was a guy who sort of changed my philosophy on fielding a ground ball. I was always sort of, you know, your typical first baseman, sort of try to, you know, catch it, and if I can't, knock it down. And Bob wanted me to actually be more aggressive, attack the ball, and instead of the ball playing me, I'm playing the ball and trying to get better hops. And as soon as we started doing that, it was phenomenal how quick it came around and how much better of a fielder not only myself but also the rest of our infield has got to be by attacking the ball.
Boy, nice. Sean Dunston and I were just chatting before you came up here. Belt made a play the other night. I love it. I mean, I've watched the great first baseman over the years, and didn't see him, but Ferris Fain used to be the Seals and would come in. Boy, he would come across the plate and be on the third base side. Yeah. And Sean said, you guys did that a lot. I don't see it that much.
Yeah, you know, with as much as bunting went on in the National League and the pitchers bunting, we were always taught to get in their faces. And if you know, they're trying to concentrate on the ball coming to home plate at the same time, and they see you running at them out the corner of their eye, there's a lot of stuff going on up there. And so as a result of that, we got a lot of outs at third base, which, snuffed a bunch of big rallies. And on top of that, I couldn't tell you how many bad bunts you forced by just, being aggressive.
Yeah, we don't see it today, though, for some reason. Why not?
A lot of the hitters are taught this, pull the bat back and slash type thing and all that, which they did back then, too. But all you do is just put on the brakes and say, uh-oh, I'm a little closer to home plate here than what I really want to be. But, hey, look, that's was the nature of the game. The nature of the game is aggressiveness, and create something. We just talked about it with a ground ball, attack the ground ball so that you create the hop instead of the hop eating you up. And it's the same thing with the bunts. We got in here, as quick as possible in order to get the ball, maybe getting out at third, getting out at second, wherever it might be, instead of just taking the routine out at first.
Boy, I saw a play the other night, and Angel Pagan. Pence got a hit. Pagan read it perfectly. Went first to third and set up the inning. And I said, boy, that was good base running.
Yeah, very good base running. And that's what we're trying to teach. It starts in spring training, and then it goes on during the course of the season. But, if you ever notice, most big league clubs, guys, when they take a round of batting practice, they'll get out there and run the bases a little bit. And it was pretty much mandatory for us to read a few balls off the bat and know, okay, look, that ball's going to fall. That ball's not going to fall. He's going to be able to get to that ball. Nah, that one I might have to, come around second base. Pablo Sandoval did it yesterday. Ball in the gap in left center. He came all the way around second base, and then he had to retouch second going back to first. But we practice that sort of thing so that, we can get good jumps and we can score on little doinkers and stuff like that, whereas other people who don't get good jumps, they're stuck in scoring position. You got to get another base hit to get him in.
Boy, that's what made you a great ball player. We talk about the kind of ball player that wins, and that was you. All right, last thought for you, Candlestick. Maybe we'll see you later on the season as well, but this is it for Candlestick, and if I say goodbye, Candlestick, what do you say?
You know what? I would have to shed a tear. I mean, it was a place that made me a better ball player, and it made me a better man. You had to go out there and concentrate on your job. You had to concentrate on the baseball and just literally ignore everything else going on around you, because there was so much going on around you. I mean, the wind, the hot dog wrappers, you know, the clay on the infield blowing around. I mean, you name it, and it was going on out there. But if you went out there and you concentrated on the baseball and concentrated on your job, it made you a better ball player. And as a result of that, you know, we actually, as a team, as an organization, we took advantage of that ballpark.
Boy, as they wrap it up with Candlestick, you did get a big hit that's played over and over again.
Yeah, you know, that was pretty special. You know, I mean, you're a kid in the backyard playing wiffle ball, and you know, every little kid does it, goes up there, you know, bases loaded, bottom of the ninth. You know, I mean, the World Series, you know, one of those numbers, and to walk up to home plate and live that dream and get the base hit and put us in the World Series. I mean, it's special, and till this day, you know, when I think about it, you know, the hair on the back of my neck stands up. You know,
you're giving it to me. I'm getting goosebumps talking to you. Well, always a pleasure to have you on, and we're very lucky to have you here with the Giants.
Well, thank you, Marty. It is definitely my pleasure to be here and to be associated with you for as many years as we've been friends.
Good. All right, that's Will Clark. More coming up on KNBR 680, the sports leader.